Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-F-T. Now. Presented by High Caliber Millwrights, live from Los Angeles, site of Pac-12 Media Days. Here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I got asked a question on Media Day. Chip Kelly, who is sitting in now, has joined me. He asked me, is it still the bald-faced truth? It is. How are you doing?
I'm good.
You're making your return to the show. We're not going to do the regular questions you get everywhere else.
Thank goodness.
Like, we need to change up Media Day. What could we do? What could be different?
I think it should be a lot more consolidated. I think it should be a little bit more pointed in terms of questions. And you get the same thing. What's your season look like? For us, you know, are you excited about game two? And you're going to get the same answer. No, we have a game one.
Right.
So we're going to talk about game one. As much as everybody wants to talk about game two, they're not. So it's there's some things. I think people are – there's enough smart people around that can get together and say, hey, how do we – make this a little bit better and get the product of Pac-12 football out there.
Game shows. We should do game shows.
With love game shows.
Jeopardy. You, Jimmy Lake, and Jonathan Smith on Jeopardy. Like, we do Pac-12 Jeopardy.
That would be interesting.
Way better. And because you're right. Nobody's, like, who are you playing in week three? All that, it doesn't really matter to me.
But I'll just ask you this. The ACC was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Tell me one thing that somebody, no one knows.
No.
It's like it's media day and it goes by and that's it. And I think it's time, and there's different things you can do, especially in this day and age, of how you can do it. We understand they're trying to get content for some of their shows and lead-in things, and I get that part of it. But is there a way to make it just a little bit, and maybe interactive, and maybe have fans at it? I don't know.
Chip Kelly with us, UCLA coach. Let's go. Coach is sleeping at the office.
Yeah.
Are you okay with that? If one of your guys wants to spend the night, or are you going, go home, get a life?
Go home. You know, it's to me, and if a guy has to sleep at the office, then I'll go back to the Geico commercial when you woke up early, no one cares.
Yeah.
I mean, why did you sleep at the office? Because you, and I heard this from Steve Spurrier, you must not be that good at your job if you have to sleep at your office. Because I can go home every night at 10 o'clock. So, and there's a bunch of professions that work their tails off. So that whole, you know, I'm going to carry the cross to bear for college football coaches because we all work very hard. As everybody works extremely hard. You don't last this long in any profession if you don't work hard. So, but if you can't get it done during the course of the day, then I worry about you.
You know, I know that your dad and mom are huge influence, like most kids, on you, but your dad got a chance to see you coach at a high level. He got a chance to see your parents got to see that. What did that mean for you to like let them see that, you know, you didn't become an attorney, sorry.
No.
But you did it. You were successful.
Yeah, I just think it's for any kid that when, you know, because parents invest so much into their child. And it was never a course of where we had to do or what we had to do. Is, you know, we were just told you have to be happy. And if you chose something that you're really happy in, then they shared in that joy. And as you know, as a parent, it's whatever your child decides to do. But if you can see them do that at the highest level, like I think one of the really cool things going on right now is Pat Forty's in Tokyo watching his daughter in the Olympics. And it's just awesome. Now, I don't know if she's a medalist or how she's going to win, but just the fact that he gets to write the stories and Sharon about like the experiences of being a swimmer dad and everything that's gone about, and now you're at the culmination and you're at the Tokyo Olympics. That's really cool.
You obviously at Oregon, you got close. Your game against Auburn, you were right there with them. I don't like how it ended. You probably don't like how it ended. Did you realize at the time, like, or was did it feel so big that you just had to focus on coaching the game, or how has it shifted in your mind as you look back on Auburn and you guys?
You know what? I've always looked at games as I don't think you can make them too big or too small. It's just it's the event, and I think it's your response to the event that ultimately will be what the outcome is in your mind. And so for us, I always look back at that fondly. I think that team had a bunch of unbelievable kids that – and I hate the term overachiever, but, you know, that – you know, it's one of those things. I was talking to Urban Meyer pregame, and he was like, don't look down the other end. you know, and you're kind of not looking like this because, you know, Cam Newton was bigger than anybody on our D-line. And he's playing quarterback. And you're like, and then I saw him for the first time, and it was funny because John Gruden told me that he goes, when you see him, he looks like Julius Peppers. And I was like, now how big is he? And then you saw him, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And then I saw him throw the ball, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, he can throw, too. So, but we gave him everything they can handle, and it's the ultimate is you ask your guys to leave it out in the field, and they left it out in the field, and
yeah.
You know you're a kick away at the buzzer to winning it. So
yeah, and you look in the next draft, you don't have a player drafted in the first round, like you know that yeah, was
in that draft in that season. I think KC Matthews went in the fourth, and that yeah. was our first kid drafted. So
I haven't looked this up, but I doubt that has happened since in the playoff history where it's a lot of first round picks. It's,
yeah,
yeah. It's a lot of guys.
But it's a credit to us. There was a special group of guys that they had no egos. They didn't care. They wanted to work. And we had Tony Dungy come speak to our team before that season started because Eric was with us. And he said, how many guys want to be in Glendale playing for the national championship? And he asked the receivers in the back of the room. And they all raised their hand. And he goes, how many of you guys are willing to be there if you don't catch a ball all season long?
Mm.
If all coach asks you to do is block. And you had a bunch of kids like Jeff Mayo, Drew Davis. They still raised their hands,
yeah.
And that's what they were like. They were, if we had to throw it, they were there. If we had to run it, they were there. And it was just, it was a great group and a special one that you'll always kind of remember. And I think the people of Oregon will always remember that team.
Chip Kelly is with us. What happens if you had stayed at Oregon?
I don't know. I don't know. I to me, it was just challenges. I think my experience there was second to none. The people yeah. there were tremendous. There was not, it was not a, I don't want to be here because I don't have this. You never want for anything. You have great facilities. You have great people that you can work with. We had an unbelievable administration. We have unbelievable support throughout the state.
Yeah.
And we had great kids. So that part was good, but it was always, can you coach at the next level? Can you, what is that challenge like? And that's the part that excites me. And
yeah.
that's the part that excites me about where I am now is that, you know, it's a basketball school. Well, then let's prove it's not a basketball school.
Yeah.
So I'm into the challenge part of it, and that was the only reason I would leave. But that was, it wasn't because my experience there wasn't my, that experience there was truly special for me.
It's kind of cool, though, because people at Oregon got to see you do things that eventually spread all over the place. Like, and that happens in football, right? Mm-hmm. Like, people will borrow and take and whatever. But did that, was that gratifying in any way to you to go, hey, you know, there's some influence that you had over an era of football?
Yeah, and I think from where I came from, you never thought that there would be. You know, we were just trying to score points. You know, and,
yeah.
and what can we do to beat these guys? And then you turn on the TV and someone's doing, hey, that's the play we saw Oregon run. And you're like, I think while we were in it, I didn't understand the impact that that program had throughout the country. When I talk to recruits now, and they're, you know, their favorite player growing up was DeAnthony Thomas, and I was like, oh, that's my guy. And they're
yeah.
like, it's interesting, but I didn't know. When you're in the middle of it, I don't think you know how far-reaching it was and what it looked like to the rest of the country.
Chip Kelly is with us. We're in Hollywood, Pac-12 Media Day. Who plays you in the movie?
Me?
Yeah, you. We're making a movie. We're casting Chip Kelly.
Jackie Chan. I don't know if I've ever asked that question.
But that's my goal. That's the whole shtick of the radio show. Is to,
what, to ask a question?
To ask I've questions that have never been answered. What happened to your Bald-Faced Truth bobblehead doll that I sent you?
I did not. I have that somewhere. I do know where my Uncle Phil bobblehead doll is.
Yeah.
That's prominently on
that's
display.
Gotta be
but
prominent.
I don't know where the Bald-Faced Truth is. We have so many. We've made a couple stops since we left there, so
yeah.
there's still some boxes that haven't been unpacked since the move from Philly to San Francisco. To
Isn't
here,
that funny? So. I do this. I have boxes, too. I don't know what's in them.
They're and just... I just say, you wanna? Nah, I don't want to go through them now. So we throw it out. No, we're not throwing it out. Let's just keep it there.
Yeah. It's all right. So what's going to happen to college football? Like, there's so much change going on.
There is.
Can you even think about it, or do you have to just kind of compartmentalize what you're doing?
I mean, I think you can think about it, and but it's just sheer speculation. But if you go back to 11 years ago, Texas, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Baylor were coming to this league.
Yeah.
And it was going to be the Pac-16, and everybody was realigning, and then it ended up being Utah and Colorado, and then Nebraska went to the Big Ten and all these other things, and then a year later, no one even cared who was in anybody's league.
Yeah,
the numbers were off because the Big 12 was still the big was had 10, the Big Ten had 14, but it settled down. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've always said this with everything: it's follow the money because that's what's driving this. But I don't know, and I'm not saying it could, but does expansion equal dilution? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has an answer to where it is. I don't think people are ready for or want to go super conferences. So having 20 teams in one league, what's the benefit of that?
Doesn't make any sense.
And I know from being in the Pac-12, and it's the only league I know from that standpoint, is that, you know, the presidents of this league are pretty unified on that, the academic part of what this league is all about. So, you know, what schools fit into that? Are they AAU schools that fit into that mold? Then now all of a sudden your list gets really shallow. But I really don't think there are any presidents in our league concerned about what the football schedule is going to look like if we add these two teams. That's not – their decisions are bigger and a little bit higher than that.
And so. Also, that's kind of refreshing, right?
Colleges
that want to be colleges.
Yeah.
You know?
I visited Auburn a long time ago when Tommy Bowden was the head coach, and he said that at some places the tail wags the dog, if you know what I mean, Chip. Because I was like, your football stadium's right in the middle of your campus. And he was like, yeah, because the tail wags the dog. And I didn't understand that. Now, I do understand that a little bit better now that I've been through this. So.
All right, so you get to hang out in L.A. LeBron's kind of a big deal here. We got movies. Is it kind of nice for you to not be like we're in Oregon? Chip Kelly bought a house. Like, that becomes news, right?
Yeah.
Here in L.A., you can kind of – can you fly under the radar a little bit?
Yeah, I think most people do. We live down in the South Bay, and there's a bunch of athletes and coaches that live down there. And in the probably, in my opinion, the way it should be is you should make a big deal over the Dr. Mike Tytel, who runs the Cancer Institute at UCLA. Like, that's a dude you should make a big deal about, not the football coach at UCLA. So that part's always been a unique perspective for me, is that I know we coach a sport and we're involved in a sport that a lot of people are fans are, but we're not curing cancer, we're not solving homelessness problems, we're not doing a lot of things that people are doing that should be put on that pedestal. And I think the one thing about where we live here now is I think everybody has that kind of same mindset. It's like, hey, that guy does this, cool.
Can you find out, though, if you ever get like Samuel L. Jackson or somebody, can you find out how Snakes on a Plane became a movie?
That's always a good one. I've used that with a bunch of my friends. Of if that can be a movie, anything can be a movie.
Yeah, so. Literally, that's like four guys sitting around going, "Hey, let's make a movie about the just roll the dice. What is it? Snakes, plane? All right, we got it."
But it goes follow the money. So someone wanted to finance that, and the person who financed it made some money off it. I guarantee it.
Right.
And we're still talking about it to this day.
To this day, we still are. All right, you're not on social media.
No.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. I envy that. Is there at any point did somebody go, hey, you know, you're missing an opportunity or whatever, or you just shut that down completely?
No, I don't think you're missing an opportunity. Like, our school has a website, so we communicate with recruits, and there's a way. You never not want to have an opportunity to communicate with kids, but I think there's different ways to do it, and when it turns into, you know, it's all about the individual and – I mean, what did you have for breakfast?
And, right.
You know, this was what my lunch was like, and here's my opinion on this. It's, you know, it's not, there's some people, you look at them and they're hilarious, and you're like, that guy is hilarious. I hope he does more. But it just never occurred to me that, oh, I have something to say. Let me put it in a tweet and say it to somebody. I'm compartmentalized with the work I do. So.
Yeah.
I don't really have time to say, hey, I'm going to tweet this or tweet that. Like, I'm trying to watch film or do something that hopefully keeps me working.
I've never understood the comedians that do it because they give away their best jokes. It's like, that should be in your act.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I don't think I would have it if I wasn't doing this job. Like, I get it. I promote or I have to. Hey, Chip Kelly's coming on at 1 o'clock. You know, I want people to know.
Well, that's efficient.
Yeah.
And that's part of what your job is. But I don't have to advertise that. What time our games are. People know what time they're, you know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the only thing that's really relative. So I think there's positive to it. And I'm not a negative for it. I think it's an unbelievable way. It also gives people that didn't have a voice before the ability to have a voice and to speak to more than just their friends. So that part's interesting. But I think when it starts to get oversaturated and you look at the statistics of how many tweets are negative and there's only 10% of the people that are on Twitter to begin with, and then when you start to have the government regulate who can and who can't, then that's way outside of my realm.
You got questions here, you're getting nowhere else. I appreciate you.
We do, that's true.
I appreciate you. Thank you for making time.
All right, buddy.
Chip Kelly, UCLA football. You heard everything you need to know about UCLA football this season in one place. We'll get you back on. Maybe we'll get you back on in the season.
Sure.
I won't bug you. Maybe one time.
All right, buddy.
All right. Chip Kelly.
All right.
There he is.
Thank you.
Thank you. Judah Newby, how'd we do with Chip Kelly? The triumphant return of the UCLA coach who just spiked his headset on his way out.
It's great to hear his voice. It's great to hear you guys interact again, man. I missed that wavelength. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, he came over before the interview and he said, "We're going to do this." And I said, "All right, we're going to get it done." All right. What do we have coming up? I got to pull up my sheet here.
We got Carl Durrell's going to be coming up here shortly.
All right. Carl Durrell, Colorado coach. George Kliavkoff, the Pac-12 commissioner, will be on the show. Kayvon Thibodeau.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.